We see this throughout the book of Acts. The author is Luke. And as he's writing about the early church, telling events that are happening, he will occasionally interject a summary of the way things were, what life was like for these early Christians as God's Spirit was equipping God's people for God's work. Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47 is the first summary. Let's read. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's pray. Father, as we come to the book of Acts, to these verses that give us a description of what it was like to be a Christian in these early days of Christianity, Father, we pray that you would show us what your word has to do with us now, 2,000 years later in this place. Father, we pray that your word would provide for us a path forwards as your people. Father, we pray that your word would provide encouragement for us as you remind us that the same Holy Spirit continues to be with us today. Father, most of all, we pray that through your word, you would continue to transform us to become the people that you intend for us to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So to understand the book of Acts, the first thing you need to understand is that it's really part two of a two-part work. So if you come to the book of Acts and begin reading there, you've missed part one. Part one is the Gospel of Luke, where Luke introduces us to Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke introduces us to the salvation that God is providing for us through his Son. It presents us with the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he purchases for mankind if we will believe in him. And then the second part of Luke's work, the book of Acts, shows us what happens when that salvation takes hold in a community of people. The book of Acts shows us what it looks like when that power of God brought to us through Jesus Christ is made manifested in the lives of people. The book of Acts is what happens when God is at work saving people. God builds a saving relationship with people by drawing them together into a community. God's plan has always been to form a new community of humanity in the world. This community, the church, will be his people and he will be their God, and he has no intention at all of saving people and leaving them as isolated spiritual beings in the world. God's plan is for his people to be a people together, a community of people whose commonality is their relationship with God through Jesus. What we're saying is this, that the gospel of Jesus Christ gives birth to a church. The gospel gives birth to the church. We see this practically unfolding in the world around us. If you move into a community where the gospel has never been proclaimed, and you proclaim the gospel, some of the people who hear it believe it, and those who believe it are changed, and they're drawn together into a community, and a church is born there. It's God who does this thing, and it's a miracle every time it happens. The birth of a church is no less a work of God than when his Holy Spirit fell upon the apostles and they spoke in languages they didn't understand in the first chapter of Acts. Grace Central, the fact that we are here at all, the fact that we are a congregation of Christians, that we return week after week, that we can be in each other's presence, that we spend time in each other's homes, that we share each other's burdens, that we forgive each other, that we're reconciled, and that God holds us together as a community. This is a testimony of God at work in us by the power of his gospel, and it is a supernatural work. It's easy for us to forget this as Christians, that the church is a supernatural community of God's own design and his own creation and his own initiation. This is one of the main points of the book of Acts, that the gospel goes out, that the Holy Spirit accompanies it, that people hear it and are changed and are drawn together into a new kind of community. When we read Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, it sounds like things are going well for them. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, the breaking of bread and the prayers, and awe came upon every soul. Many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, to any, as any had need. Day by day, attending temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. We read this and we say, could it really have been as good as all that? We read this and maybe some of us are a little bit suspicious and we wonder, might Luke, the author of the book of Acts, might he be candy coating this a little bit? Might he be putting a positive spin on what was really happening in order to promote the cause of the church? Totally understandable that we would read this and wonder if that's what's going on. However, if we spend any time at all in the book of Acts, we see that Luke was not shy about presenting problems and difficulties that were happening within the church as well. In Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, we have the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Has anybody ever heard the story of Ananias and Sapphira? Right? You have these two people who were in the church. And they sold a piece of property, and they brought some of the money and donated it to the church, right? Now, this is right in line with what Acts chapter 2 describes as happening in the church, people selling their possessions, meeting the needs of one another. So they sell a piece of property and bring a portion of the money to the church. But they say that they brought all of the money to the church. Now, the problem is there was nothing wrong with them only bringing a portion of the proceeds. That was good. That was generosity. The problem is they desired to be seen as something they were not fully, right? There's some religious hypocrisy going on there. Surprisingly, God strikes them both dead. I don't know. Read it. It's in your Bible. Read it, right? In Acts chapter 8, we have a guy named Simon. He was a magician. He hears the gospel, he believes it, and he sees the Holy Spirit come upon believers in power so that they're doing things like are described in Acts chapter 2, like the apostles are healing the sick and things like this. And Simon offers money if they will give him a portion of the Spirit too so that he can do miracles. He's rebuked strongly. It's not as if the Spirit of God is something which can be bought and sold and used at will. In Acts chapter 15, the church experiences deep disagreements and deep divisions, and there are differences in understanding proper practices within the church. And so a council is convened, and all the church leaders come together. And at the end, some unity is reached. But the meeting itself grows out of a fundamental disagreement. Later in Acts chapter 15, Paul and Barnabas, two apostles in the church, part ways over a disagreement about another guy, John Mark, and whether or not he should be brought with them on a journey. So no, Luke is not candy coating what life was like for the church. He's not looking at things with rose-colored glasses. He's not attempting to sweep the difficult parts under the rug. He's describing, warts and all, what it was like for the early church in the book of Acts. He's presenting a legitimate picture of these things. And yet at the same time that he presents the difficulties and the divisions and the challenges, he's honest also about the beautiful experience that the church was having in the world as the Holy Spirit was active in them and through them. And so we see multiple summary statements of the flourishing of the early church in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 4, verses 32 and following, here's a summary statement. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and bought the proceeds of what was sold and laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. In Acts chapter 5, it says, now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem, and more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, so that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. And multiple times throughout the book of Acts, we're given summary statements of what it was like for the early church, and the early church was experiencing flourishing under the influence and power of the Holy Spirit. The church was becoming what it was meant to become, not perfectly, not without pain, not without problems, not without struggle, but God was clearly being faithful and at work in their community. The church is a supernatural community of God's own creation and God's own design. One author, a guy named Leslie Newbegin, one of my favorite authors, in a book called The Gospel in a Pluralist Society, says this: Jesus did not write a book, but he formed a community. The community has at its heart the remembering and rehearsing of his words and deeds, and the sacraments given by him through which it is enabled both to engraft new members into its life and to renew this life again and again through sharing in his risen life through the body broken and the lifeblood poured out. It exists in him, and it exists for him. He makes the point. Jesus did not leave us with a book. God, at work by the Holy Spirit, through the minds and the hearts of men and women, authors for us scripture, provides for us stories of what was happening. But Jesus himself did not leave behind any writings. What Jesus left behind, Grace Central, is you. A church is a supernatural community of God's own creation and God's own design, placed in the world for God's own purposes, that his gospel might be heard through them and seen in them, demonstrated in their lives and in their community. And so the church is called to be a devoted community in the world, devoted to God's purposes. This is what it means to be a Christian. It means to be joined together by Jesus to one another, placed in the world that we might live lives devoted to God's purposes here. A devoted community, giving ourselves to something, to persist in something, to be fully committed to something, to persevere in something, and that thing is the cause of Christ. This morning we'll look at two things that as a church, Christians are to be devoted to. The first is this, to be devoted to the word. Look at verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. This is the first thing it says in this summary statement about the church in the book of Acts, that they were a community of people who were devoted to the things the apostles taught them. The word of God. They were devoted to the gospel. They were devoted to Scripture. We're still called to be devoted to these things that the apostles held to and these things that the apostles taught. Christians today, 2,000 years later, are still called to be devoted to the very same truths. The very same message that gives us life and joins us together is the same message to which we must be devoted perpetually. It means we must believe it. We must teach it. We must regard it as good news. We must speak it. We must live in a way that demonstrates it to be true. Ideas go out of style. Philosophies change. It's tempting for us to think that the gospel will go out of style too. It's tempting for us to think that the gospel has gone out of style, to think that the Bible is out of style. It's easy to feel as if Scripture is antiquated and unsophisticated, and that we are so enlightened in the culture in which we live now. But as Christians, we must remember we are called to be devoted to this word. It's easy for us when we're young to think that the truths of Scripture are something that are just for our grandparents' generation. But Scripture is continually relevant to our deepest needs. The same Holy Spirit who is filling the mouths of the prophets, who authored the words of Scripture, is the same Holy Spirit who continues to speak through His word to us today. As a church, our highest calling is to be devoted to the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness." It means that the Spirit of God has given us His Word on purpose for our good, to teach us something, to correct us when we're in error, to train us in a certain way of living. Romans chapter 15, verse 4 says, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope." The Apostle Paul says to the Roman church that what was written in Scripture was written for our instruction, it was written for our encouragement, in order that we might have hope. Christian, do you lack hope? You will find hope from God as you devote yourself to the study of His word. Isaiah chapter 55 says, "So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it." There's all kinds of stuff that God desires to do in your heart, in your mind, in your family, in your relationships, and He intends to accomplish those things through His word. And He promises in Isaiah chapter 55 that His word will accomplish that for which He sends it out. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus Himself says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." It's in Scripture, in the word of God, that we will find what it is we need for life in this place. And Isaiah 40 says, "The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever." I know sometimes it may seem to us like studying Scripture is not a good use of our time. I know there are times when you come to Scripture and you read it and it seems to fall flat. But Scripture is the very word of God Himself for us. And it will accomplish His purposes in us if we will devote ourselves to it. Long after we're gone, long after our culture is dead, and scholars hundreds of years from now laugh at all the strange things we believe that later will be shown to be ludicrous, the gospel itself, the power of God, the Holy Spirit at work in the world through God's church will remain. We will never outgrow our need for Scripture. And the first way that the book of Acts describes the church is to say that they were a community of people who were devoted to the Word of God. But if we keep reading, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to the prayers. And in verse 44, "And all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to any as had need. Day by day, attending the temple together and breaking breads in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts." Right? What's it describing? These are people who were devoted not only to the Word of God, to the study of God's Word, to the hearing of God's Word, to the believing of God's Word, to the practicing of God's Word, but these were people who were devoted to one another. The early church were a group of people who, by the Holy Spirit, by His power, were drawn together and were devoted to life together. They were devoted to the Word of God and they were devoted to the people of God. These were people who were sharing their lives together. They were having meals together. They were praying together. They were sharing needs with one another. They were worshiping together, day by day, attending the temple together. They were eating in one another's homes. They had compassion for one another in their needs. They were exercising hospitality by welcoming each other into their lives, into their relationships. The world longs for this kind of community. I read an article not too long ago about the rise of atheist churches. Have you heard of this? Atheists now are starting churches. There's no core belief, but outwardly, they're exhibiting things like a church exhibits. They're gathering together on Sundays. There's some singing. There's the building of relationships. There's the mutual meeting of needs. But at the center, there's no core conviction, right? What it demonstrates is that people in our world are longing for precisely the kind of community the church is supposed to be. The world wants community, the kind of community that's only produced by the gospel of Jesus Christ. People need a church. People need a place to belong. People need a community that will be committed to one another, committed to helping each other meet needs and to celebrate life together. And that's what the church is intended to be, and all of us are created for it. There's a couple of problems that we might face. Usually, most of us are probably given to one of two kinds of errors. Most of us are probably tempted to want one or the other in our lives. We're tempted to say, well, I want to devote myself to this thing, but not so much this thing. Some of us want the community. We like to gather for worship. We find we really appreciate and need the relationships that we find in the church. We want the comfort that community gives us and the stability. But when it comes to being devoted to the teachings of Scripture, well, there's a few things in Scripture we'd rather not believe. And we're not devoted to the truth of God's Word. We look at the things the gospel says, the truths in His Word, what it requires of us as we live the Christian life, and we find we don't really believe it much at all, but we love the people, and we love the community, and we see the love of God present in the friendships and in the fellowship, and all of that is a good thing. We're devoted to the community, but we're not devoted to the things that God says in His Word. Others of us have a deep appreciation for Scripture. We enjoy it. We study it. We read it. We read devotional books about it. Some of us even read theological books and articles. And we experience the goodness of God in His Word and in learning His truth. But really, when it comes to the church, the main thing as far as we're concerned, and almost the only thing as far as we're concerned, is if we're getting fed the Word of God, if we're growing in deep understanding of Scripture. And that's the main thing and almost the only thing that matters to us about a church. Relationships, I guess they happen. But the main thing is that I'm hearing a sermon and that I'm taught His Word and that I'm able to study more effectively. And the church becomes merely a conduit to deliver to us content from God's Word that we want. Now listen, you guys know me. I'm a Bible nerd, man. I love to read the Bible. It's fun. This is the truth. If I wasn't even, and I say this to say, it's not all holiness. If I wasn't even a Christian, I would still find the Bible fascinating and worth studying. It's just a really interesting book, okay? Now, I am a Christian. I also believe it's God's Word, which makes it even more fascinating to me. But my point is, some of you only want the content of Scripture and the community of God's people is kind of something that must be tolerated in order to have access to the kind of teaching that you desire, right? But this is not the picture of the early church that Scripture presents. The early church were people brought together by the Holy Spirit and formed in such a way that they were fully devoted both to the teaching of God's Word and to life together in community. The two are meant to go hand in hand. A Christian is called to be devoted to both. My question for us is, which of these two needs your renewed devotion this year? Do you need to hear the challenge, hey, you're a Christian, this is God's book, at some point in your life, you really ought to give yourself to reading it, right? At some point, you really ought to give yourself to the task of understanding it better, okay? Listen, the good news is this: you live in the place and time in the history of the world where there have never been better and more proliferous resources to study and know God's Word. It's never been a better time to be a student of Scripture. That is absolutely the truth, right? There are so many good resources out there for you that make it easy for you to learn God's Word at a time that's convenient for you, at a way that's even maybe entertaining for you, right? Avail yourselves of it. It's the church has been blessed greatly with great riches. And remember, God promises that if you devote yourself to His Word, He will see to it that its purposes are accomplished in you. Right? His Word will not return void. If you avail yourself of the study of His Word, it will do its work in you. And you will not regret it. Others of us, this year, need to look at ourselves and say, okay. So, some of you people like to eat salad. Others of you understand that lettuce is just a conduit for salad dressing, right? That's why it exists. Just the most efficient way to get ranch into your face, right? Come on, it's Ohio. You all eat ranch dressing. You know you do. But some of us see participation in the church community as a necessary evil, almost, right? Not evil. You know what I'm saying. Necessary inconvenience. But God's intention is that your lives would be knit together with other Christians in your church community so that you do life together. We've always said at Grace Central, we do not want the church community to become a swirling black vortex that swallows all of your free time. It ought not. Ought to have a little bit of your free time, right? By the way, if you're a musician, coming up, we have, see, I'm saying it, right? Coming up, we have a thing where you can come and play music with the musicians at Grace Central and see if maybe you could serve your church by playing music. If you don't, this is one way you can be involved and meet other people in a natural way using your gifts. Music is something you enjoy. You could come be a part of that. And also you should know that this morning, 3/5 of our musicians are Blossers. Okay. All right. So as you examine your own heart and your own life and what it is that God's doing in you, which of these commitments, which of these devotions need your attention for the coming year? Do you need to give yourself to a renewed study of His Word? Do you need to give yourself to a renewed commitment to being in relationship with His people? The result of this kind of community being formed by God is also described for us in these verses. You look at verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Now listen, this is not necessarily a causal relationship. Oh, they were devoted to His Word and to one another. So God said, okay, I'll add to your number. Okay, I'll grow you, right? Okay, I'll give you favor with the people. This too is something that God was doing, right, through the Holy Spirit. But it also so happens that people singularly devoted to God's word, to believing it, to living it, and to loving each other in the context of that devotion, it just so happens that that's the kind of community that's attractive to people. The unbelieving world had favor upon the early church. Now, we know from the rest of the book of Acts that they also experienced some persecution. There were people who did not like them. But generally speaking, the world around them looked at the church, did not share their faith, but said, those guys are all right. I'm glad they're in our community. There's something admirable about these people who call themselves Christians, having favor with all the people. This church was not primarily a group of people who were known for boycotting the things they were against in the culture. The early church was not a community of people who were known primarily for wagging their fingers at people who were doing things they didn't approve of. They were not primarily known for shaking their heads and clutching their pearls and exhibiting their virtue by acting shocked by the behaviors of people who did not believe the things they believed about God and about Jesus. But they were people whose love for one another was so clear that the world around them said, wouldn't it be nice if we all had a community like that? A community of people being drawn together and transformed by God through the grace of the gospel so that it spilled out of their lives into relationships they had with others. It spilled out of their community into the community surrounding them. It spilled out of their lives and their community and their church so that the city around them looked and saw and said, that's attractive. And so naturally, God grew their numbers. The people around them say, that's different, that's attractive, and I would like to be a part of that. I wonder if I would be received in that way by those people. I wonder if I could be included in a community like that. Boy, you know, I'm not so sure about these claims they're making about this guy Jesus, but when I look at the way they live in relationship to each other, the way that they're meeting each other's needs, the way that they're loving each other, the way they're caring for one another, it makes me want to give the claims of Jesus a second listen. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. This, it seems to me, is the natural consequence of God's people being devoted to his gospel and to each other in a community of people that longs to see the gospel demonstrated, even though they don't know that's what they're longing for. It will be attractive. It will draw those who need it. It will be a living demonstration of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because it is God's Spirit at work in the community of God's people. And that's something that every human being is created to be a part of. So what does it call for from us? Not perfection. We've seen that in the book of Acts. Some dysfunction happening, right? But they were devoted to his word. And they were devoted to one another. And the Holy Spirit was at work. And in their devotion, they experienced the grace and the power of Jesus Christ to change their world. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the good news of the gospel and the way that you are at work in your people around the world. Father, we pray that you would be at work in the same way in Grace Central as you have been for years now. God, we pray that you continue to be at work. Lord, our culture is deeply, deeply divided, more than ever that I remember in my lifetime. But Father, the gospel unifies people who are different. Father, we pray that you would unify us with your gospel, that you would allow us to be a community where your power and your goodness is seen in order that others might hear and believe and be changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.